Have a tree question and you're stumped? We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with Rosie on the House. We're bringing Matt into the conversation to talk to certified arborist John Eisenhower, as long as horticulturist Rick Kober. It's a very Dutch name, as I understand and just learned, if it's not Dutch, it's not much.
That is correct. If it's not Dutch, it's not much.
Probably a combined plant, tree, horticultural knowledge between the two of them of... I guess it depends on how much you want me to age y'all, but it's probably more than my lifespan.
I think John and I are the same age. We go back to graduating from high school in the early 70s. So.
Matt, you're online. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a peach tree in my yard. I'm in the Gilbert area, and I planted a peach tree and an apple tree about 4 years ago. And the apple tree is doing perfect. It's growing tall. It's got a nice ball on the top and a nice, healthy trunk. The peach tree, on the other hand, is just growing tall and skinny. It's probably 20 foot tall. And the trunk at the base, where it comes out of the ground, is only about 2 inches in diameter. So I got to have it propped up all over. What am I doing wrong, or what can I do to increase the size of the trunk and make the tree more stable?
Well, you know... Has it borne any fruit yet, the peach tree? It does. And have you been cutting it back every year?
Yes, sir.
Well, as you, if it's still 20 feet tall and you've been cutting it back, that shows you how vigorous those peach trees can be. And you do need to keep them at a manageable height. I would recommend possibly cutting it back a little deeper than you have in the past, because it shouldn't be quite that tall. You want the fruit to be at a manageable harvesting height of maybe 12 feet max. And you can do that by just cutting back deeper into the wood, you know, maybe into some 1-inch diameter cuts. If it's only 2 inches diameter at the base, that seems like a pretty tall tree for that size trunk.
Yeah, I used to help Dr. Jim Downer, who's very active with the International Society of Arboriculture in Ventura County. They would have a course every spring on training people how to properly prune their fruit trees. And Dr. Downer used to say, when you prune your peach tree, you want to prune it halfway, and then you want to prune it again. So you could prune your 20-foot peach tree down at least to 8 feet, and this maybe January, and that would help encourage the tree to develop some more caliper lower as it goes into the ground. It will also enhance the fruit production this year.
And we do recommend pruning most of your deciduous fruit trees in the winter, December, January. And peach trees produce fruit on current year's growth. So whatever growth is produced on the wood that emerges in the spring is going to be the fruit-bearing wood. So keep that in mind, that you can pretty much determine the height at which your fruit is developed and can be harvested by how far down you cut it in January. So if you want that new growth that's going to emerge, 3 or 4 or 5 feet of new growth, and you've cut it down to the 8 feet that Rick just recommended, then you'll have all your fruit in that 8 to 12 foot range. And that's a really nice harvestable size you can reach off of a ladder. Some people actually, when you have planted a brand new fruit tree, will cut it down at 3 or 4 feet off the ground, because then it'll the branch structure will be a candelabra of really low branches. Then your harvesting will be at that kind of shoulder height to almost able to be harvested from the ground. And you can pretty much determine that by how far you want to cut it back each year.
Matt, we appreciate the call. Chop it. That's what I hear. Chop it, chop it.
That tree.
If you don't have the heart to do it, just hand your neighbor the saw and say, here's my mark. Turn around and don't look. And let them go to town.
No. I'm not going to let that go. There is a little more science involved in this. In fact, I was a little cavalier in my quick comments just for the sake of time. But there's a little bit more involved. You want to be able to space your pruning cuts well so that the branches that emerge are evenly distributed radially around the tree and vertically. So there's a way of cutting back your main scaffold branches when you're trimming deciduous fruit trees. Don't just cut it back to the trunk. You want to, you know, leave some of those main scaffold branches, but cut all of them back evenly. And if you need any further instructions, there's some great online resources for trimming fruit trees. By the way, the U of A, Maricopa County University of Arizona Agricultural Extension Office, has some wonderful, wonderful publications. I was on their website this morning. And in regard to selecting trees, with regard to which we talked about earlier in the broadcast, as well as pruning deciduous fruit trees, go to the U of A website. In fact, if you go to our website at itreeservice.com, the very first article is Arboricultural Resources, and there you can find the U of A website and just click on the link. So go to itreeservice.com, go to our articles page, and you can look at the Arboricultural Resources, and you'll find that U of A publications website, and just click on that. And it's got a wealth of great information.
Mike is next on the line, and Chandler wants to talk about one of our John's favorite topics, killing sisu roots. Mike, go ahead.
Yes. I had a couple sisu trees that were probably about 30 feet tall, and the roots started, of course, going crazy, like I guess they're used to doing. So I chopped them down, stump ground them, drilled them, poisoned them with a stump killer. I put bags of charcoal on them and lit them on fire. I put diesel fuel, gasoline, motor oil.
You're missing arsenic. Haven't heard salt.
I had 40 trees growing up in my grass.
Yeah, we won't say where you live, so EPA doesn't come knocking on your door. I want to ask you. You did grind out the stump. Did you treat the stump with your contact herbicide before grinding it, or was that all things you did afterwards?
I stump ground it first, then drilled it. Drilled the holes and put the stump killer in it.
Right. Well, our recommended process is to cut the tree down and then actually drill the stump and put the contact herbicide into the drilled holes in the stump prior to grinding it out. Then we wait about 30 to 45 days to let the systemic herbicide, you know, get out into as many of the roots as possible. And then we come in and grind out the stump. If you do it the other way, which we've has happened in the past, it's pretty difficult because you've destroyed the mothership, and all the satellites are still active, and it's really tough to now track down all those roots because those roots now you don't have any way of delivering the contact herbicide to those outlying roots. What we found is when you do treat a stump, we get about a kill to about 10 or 12 feet from the stump. Everything dies. Any root activity beyond that 10 or 12 feet still will survive, and you have to then start spot spraying and treating the sprouts that emerge. It's a bit of a long process, but it can be done. You just have to continue to be vigilant, to find out where all those sprouts are and dig down and paint them, treat them. Expose what we sometimes have done is expose as much of the root surface as we can in those outlying areas and then treat them with a contact herbicide by either spraying or painting it on.
Don is next on the line and brings us our next December talking point organically as we address frost protection. Good morning, Donna from Tucson.
Good morning. I have a small question. About 20 years ago, my darling planted, well, lots of plants, but these two, I thought they were trees, but they're not trees. They're bushes, and one is lemon and one is lime. They've never bared fruit, and usually every year I cover them. So this year I thought the pomegranates we don't cover. We don't cover anything else. Do I have to cover those bushes, and should I trim them now?
This is your citrus, your lime, and your lemon? Yeah, you have a much colder climate there, you know, five degrees cooler than it is in Phoenix. So you need to be thinking about definitely covering your small citrus. Your deciduous trees and shrubs like your pomegranate are perfectly fine without covering those. They lose their leaves and are very frost tolerant. The citrus, though, you're going to need to take some measures to cover those and make sure that they're protected. There's some good quality commercial products out there available at most good nurseries will provide some frost cloth, And you want to be sure that when you put the canopy of frost cloth over your plants, that you extend them all the way down, let them drape all the way to the ground, and then seal them. Don't tie them off around the trunk of the tree, because it's the soil moisture and humidity that's trapped underneath the canopy of the frost cloth that does most of the frost protection. So make sure that the canopy of your frost cloth goes all the way down and creates a dome around the tree.
Yeah, I'd like to add one of the interesting things about using frost cloth is that it actually works better. People will ask the question, can I leave it on? And one of the difficult things about leaving it on is, like John alluded to, the radiant heat, the energy that's hits the ground and hits the tissue of the plant during the daylight sun period gets trapped under the frost cloth during the night and radiates back up. So you actually get a better protection using frost cloth when you remove it the following day. But realize it's really a critical temperature difference between 27 and maybe 31 degrees. Once you get lower than 26, 27 degrees, it's not really going to matter whether you leave it on or take it off if we have a prolonged series of days with temperatures below that 26, 27 degrees. But on the days when we're dipping down to 31, 32 degrees, frost cloth works much better when you remove the cloth in the following day.
Right, and if you've got larger plants that require quite a bit of work to get them installed, of course it's practical to be taking them off every day, every night.
Christmas lights.
Some of our customers where we just installed some large covers over some very large ficus trees that are 12, 15 feet tall, and we do those once a year and leave them on all winter, and the trees just do really well. We have some lights up inside there that to add some additional heat to the inside canopy. And at night, they're like big, huge Christmas ornaments.
They look beautiful.
They look beautiful from the outside.
On the topic of citrus, let's bring Bill from Buckeye into the conversation, and he wants to talk about when to prune them. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Hi. We have a lemon tree that it produced quite a bit last year, but my problem is I've got some shoots, about five or six of them coming out of the center of the tree that grows up 5 or 6 feet higher than the rest of the tree. And I wanted to know if I could top those off, how I can stop those shoots from growing up like that.
We will pick up on that conversation right after the break. We can do a lot of things here at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation with Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service and Rick Kober of Arid Solutions.